want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. As Brother Edwin shared, I wasn't sure what I was going to share on this morning. I had thought maybe Christmas is my favorite time of year. Brother Edwin already said that. A lot of people are jubilant over Christmas time. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to share on Christmas. But it just didn't feel right. Because life is more than just merriment. I thought, what does our congregation need? And my mind went to danger. There's danger ahead. I think as Christian people, we need to be alert to the danger. We need to be aware of what's happening around us. Scripture bears out reference that it's better to think about the dangers than to be laughing. That's in my own word. But I have a sign here this morning that I'd like to tape up front here. It says, beware of the dog. I don't know if you can read that from the back or not. It's a danger sign. Now, as you walk up to someone's house, and you would see that plastered up there beside the front door, what would you do? Would you... Edwin says he's going to turn around and go back. And that's the whole point of the sign. See, it's your choice. You can stand there and look at that sign and say, you know what? I'm not scared of dogs. No dog's going to make me run. And go on into the house. Maybe you can hear the dog barking inside and you say, you know, that's just a bunch of fake. That dog's penned up and he's not going to hurt me. But you have a choice to make. Brother Edwin already said he's turning around, he's going to go home. If I can get this piece of tape to stick. I'd like to use that sign this morning because the scriptures is full of beware. Danger. Think about it. Get alert. There's some things that you need to think about this morning. You have a choice to make. There's a danger sign beside the front door. You can knock, you can go in, but you're at risk. I'd like to do a word study this morning on the bewares of the Bible. And I realize that there's going to be a winter Bible school course on that. I did not see the winter Bible school course, so this is my own little study. And we're not going to be doing that study here at church. So I've chosen to do a word study this morning on beware. There's 26 times in the scripture that says beware. I'm not going to look at them all this morning. But you are warned. And I think it's good to stop and to think about and look at the bewares. Let's turn to the first one. And I'm not going to put them in any special order. It's just the order that I took them. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. We're going to be turning to a lot of scriptures, but I would invite you to turn with me. It'll help keep everyone alert, and maybe we can do this word study together this morning. Remember, there's danger. That's what beware means. It doesn't mean everything's good. You could say, beware of the dog, and that automatically brings to you your mind a vicious attack dog. It's your choice. If I said, beware of the chickens, you would probably smile, because no one is afraid of a chicken. You wouldn't say that. You only say when there's danger, when there's something to stop and to think about. And so when the scripture says, beware, this is more than just, doesn't apply to me. This says there's danger. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12 says, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Now, surely we're godly people. There's no way we're going to forget the Lord. But I have a question for you. Did you forget anything this past week? I'm a forgetful person, so I would just... There's just little things that I tend to forget to do. And someone will say, well, did you? And I'm sorry. I mean, I really did mean to do that. It wasn't that it was not important, but I forgot. I'm sorry. Could that happen with our love for the Lord? It's so easy to forget. I would like to read some more verses here. Starting at verse 4, I'm going to read to verse 12. This is Old Testament teaching, but it's good. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on the gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." As the scriptures bring out, it's our responsibility to teach our children so that we don't forget. Now, every day, my life is teaching somebody something. What is it? These scriptures bring out that we need to teach diligently. This isn't something that just happens, that we go to Sunday school and say, "Child, you're going to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. That's why I bring you to Sunday school." But these scriptures point out how that in my whole life needs to be teaching my family, teaching my church family about the Lord. Now, here about 2 weeks ago, we had a school meeting. We had a very good turnout. So if you were a patron, you were probably here. And he talked about the ways that we learn. There was a whole bunch of points of them. And the problem is, I forget how many points there were. It was only, 2 weeks ago? Eldred's laughing because that was the whole point of that talk, was ways that we learn. And we went over it, and then Brother Jeremy got up front and he went over it again. And so I had to say, I can't remember them all. I did not learn. But I can remember a few points, the ways that we learn. The first one is we have to have teaching. See, I just read down across a whole bunch of scriptures, several verses there. And it would be interesting if you could tell me point by point what you're supposed to do. You probably didn't catch it, so you'd have to go back through and reread it. And you reread it, and that's how you learn, as you reread. So repetition, that's one way that we learn. So as parents, the way that we're not going to forget the Lord with our families is by repetition, doing the same thing over and over, reading them the scriptures, teaching them songs, singing to them, praying with them. Not just once, not just on Sundays, but all the time. These scriptures says every day. Repetition. Do it by hands-on. Allow your child to get a hold of the scriptures. Allow your child to read the story. Allow your child to ask questions. That's how you learn. Another way that you learn is by seeing it. See, I put this sign up here. I hope on Wednesday evening, if I would come and say, "Now, what was the sermon about this morning?" You would say, "Well, I remember you hung that sign up there and it said something about danger, or it said beware." Oh, yeah, that's right. It was one beware. See, your mind, you will be able to go back and clue into what was spoken. See, do you remember what was spoke last Sunday? Our brother preached a tremendous sermon, but what was it? Do you remember? How are you going to keep from forgetting the Lord if these things are forgotten so quick? I cannot remember a parent-teacher meeting topic and all the points. And see, the scripture says, beware lest we forget the Lord. It's my choice, but I'm going to have to do something about it. We are so blessed this morning. Verse 9 talks about, well, it's not verse 9. It talks about the goodly cities. It's verse 10. Thank you. To give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. None of us have built a city. We live in Chambersburg. We live in Marion. We live in Greencastle. We live in Hagerstown. We live in a good place. great and goodly cities. We are so blessed. Verse 10 also talks about the houses that are full of good things. That's verse 11. Houses full of good things. That we didn't have to really work too hard to get. Sure, we work hard to pay for them. But we're just blessed. We're able to live in a goodly house. And we say there's no place like home. We're blessed. We have good houses. It talks about wells that are digged. None of us went out and dug a well by hand. But yet we can go home, we can turn the faucet on, we have fresh water. And we take it for granted. It talks about vineyards and olive trees. And I liken that to the fresh produce that we can so readily get. We can go to Walmart, we can go to Wise's, we can go anywhere. There's goods available. We're blessed. We're so richly blessed. And then he says, and then beware. Beware lest ye forget the Lord, because we almost don't even need the Lord. We can just survive. Beware lest ye forget the Lord. How are you going to keep from forgetting the Lord this morning? What are you going to do so you don't forget the Lord? If it wasn't an option that we're going to forget the Lord, he would never put a beware in the scriptures. And I have a few pointers. I've learned these from you. Some of you, brethren, write little notes on sticky notes and puts them up on the dash of your car. Maybe it's a verse that you read this morning and you write it out, and I've seen it. It's been a blessing to me to be able to see someone that says, I want to remember that verse today. I want to be reminded. That's a beautiful way to remember the Lord. Write a verse down on a sticky note and put it on the dash of your vehicle. Put it at a place that you're going to see it, on your refrigerator. Maybe another way is just randomly schedule an alert in your phone. If you're a techie-minded individual that likes to use technology to alert yourself, pick out a date, put it in there and say, remember the Lord. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden your phone alerts you and you look at it and says, oh, I'm supposed to remember God today. It kind of just stops you in the middle of what you're doing and you say, beware lest I forget the Lord. Mottos. If someone walks into your house, how are they going to know that you love the Lord? See, these verses talk about putting scriptures on your hands, setting scriptures on your doorpost. And I wonder, how does our homes look? If I would walk in there, would there be any mottos, any scripture verses on the wall that says, these people are different? They don't want to forget God. So that's the first beware. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. I'd like to look at the second one. Beware of false prophets. Turn with me to Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets. Verse 15 says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Beware. Beware of this. Now, is this something that we would have trouble with today? Would we know a false prophet? What is a false prophet? I'd like to read verse 13 to 20. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, I was raising some questions. Do we have false prophets, and how would we know when we see a false prophet? When you think of a prophet, you think of a teacher of the word, somebody that was an instructor. It's a very important person that teaches other people. Verse 5 talks about they come in sheep's clothing. And when you think of sheep, you think of an innocent looking. A sheep will never threaten you. Very innocent, very sincere, very harmless. And so a false prophet is one that would never, you would not feel threatened. But he says, beware of them. Beware. He said, they're actually ravening wolves. I think of winning the trust of the people. And then at the right time, they move in for the kill. That's what a wolf does. Everything's all great. It's all undercover. And all of a sudden, they kill. Doing great harm. Tearing apart. That's what a wolf does. So how does this affect us today? Beware of false prophets. Why does this even matter to us? Well, it's because our lives are at stake. Do we know each other? Do we know who we're listening to? Do we know that the influence that's in our life? You had better, because if it's a false prophet, if it's somebody that is leading you astray, there's going to be tremendous danger. Your life is at stake. You could lose out. How do we know? I mean, it seems kind of hard to get your hand on it. That how am I going to know when I see a false prophet? And we always think of false prophets as, well, yeah, I'll know them. They're out there. But see, a false prophet is one that deceives us, and we don't know who they are. It clearly says in verse 20, it says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. The fruit. See, you can look at a tree, and we don't judge a tree by its bark. You know, you could look at that tree and say, that's a beautiful tree. Look at all that fine bark on that tree. That's a beautiful, healthy tree. Look at all the green foliage. It's beautiful. But that don't mean anything. It's the fruit that comes forth. You could say, well, what about the walnut crop? It's a beautiful walnut crop, or the apples, or whatever it is. We judge it by its fruit. We could look at the flowers on a tree and say, oh, it's beautiful. But what good do the flowers do? It's the fruit that comes forth from a tree. And so our lives. We can judge each other by our lives, but it's the fruit that comes forth out of our life is what we'll be judged by. It's very important that we know, that you know who I am, that you observe my fruit, and that you make a judgment call and say, is he real or is he not? Is he leading me astray or is he not? And I want the privilege of doing the same to you. I want to be able to look at your life and say, are you being real? Beware of false prophets. Romans 16, 17 and 18, I read the verse, says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. It's a picture of a false prophet. 2 Timothy says it this way, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And Ephesians says this, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. It's some serious verses, and these bewares start to feel so negative. But the scripture says them for a reason, beware. Watch out. It's your choice. You can do something about it, or you can just go blindly through life. The third beware is in Matthew 10. Turn a few pages to Matthew 10. This beware is found in verse 17. It just says, beware of men. And I put my own little word in there to clarify it, beware of evil men. Beware of evil men that's in this world. I'm going to start reading at verse 16. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you at that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Verse 22 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, and he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Again, a very sober picture of what our lives face. God puts us into this world, and he says, beware of evil men. Beware. Just pay attention to what's going on around you. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Be wise. Be wise with your dealings with the public. Don't upset them. They're evil men. They will take advantage of you. Not only be wise, but be harmless as doves. When you are being taken advantage of, be harmless. Not talking back. Soft-spoken. Christ-like in our spirit and actions. I have here, stay out of the political world. The political world is such a cruel thing. And we like to talk about the political world. But we're not of that kingdom. We're of another kingdom. Stay out of it. You're going to get hurt. Beware of evil men. Beware of men. Beware, but do not fret. Do not become fearful. See, my tendency is to become so fearful of what could happen to me. Verse 19 says, don't be fearful, because my spirit will go with you. And as to a child of God, God's spirit will go with you. No matter what situation you find yourself, God's spirit will see you through. I have here a verse in Philippians. I'll read. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That was the third, beware of men. The fourth one was a lot of places in Scripture we could turn to and find this beware. It says it quite a few times, so I'm going to turn to the one in Luke 12. Beware of leaven. Luke chapter 12. Now, we hear these scriptures all the time, but as men, we don't bake bread. And to understand leaven, you have to bake bread, I believe. So you ladies probably understand leaven a whole sight better than men do. I don't bake bread. I think I've seen leaven one time. I think my mom was baking bread, and she showed me some leaven. But you need to mix that leaven in to make that bread rise up, to make it get nice and fat and soft and whatever bread does. That's leaven. And Jesus is saying, beware of leaven. These are Jesus' words. He doesn't say it once. He doesn't say it twice. He says it several times. I should have wrote it down. How many times he says, beware of leaven? Luke 12, verse 1 says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware. Stop and think about it. This is something that you're going to face in life. What are you going to do about it? It's your choice. Hypocrisy. We all know what that is. Pretending to be something that we're actually not. Beware of leaven. Leaven is something that gets into your life, and you really don't know what's there. The only way you know leaven is in bread is because you see the results. And so it is in our life, that when there is leaven in my life, you'll see the results. You'll see me becoming puffed up. You'll see me becoming, it's the results of leaven. It doesn't take very much, just a little bit. You don't have to dump in half the bottle, just a little bit of leaven. And all of a sudden, your bread begins to rise. And so just a little bit of sin in my life, it'll spread. It'll puff me up. It works from the inside out. It grows relentlessly. If you ever watch them bake bread, they punch it down and it grows back up, or puffs back up. You punch it down again, it just keeps coming back. There's leaven in there that's activating this thing. and it works. 1 Corinthians says, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." It's a beautiful verse that says we cannot have leaven in my life. Sincerity and truth. That is what we want. Jesus says, beware. Beware of leaven. These are something that I can have in my life, and it's going to ruin my life. And he says to you, beware. Beware of leaven. Are we real with each other? How much leaven? How much hypocrisy can I take with me to heaven? Think about it this week. The fifth, beware, is found in Luke 12, verse 15, just 15 verses more down the line. It says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Covetousness. These are some things that we can start to get our mind gripped on. Covetousness. Wishing I had something that's not mine. Looking at your possessions and saying, I just wish. When I get old, that's what I'm going to do. I made that mistake telling my wife that the other day. I drove past a beautiful house. I looked in there and I said, now why can't I have a house like that? And she said, now. That's not the right attitude. That's why our wives are good for, to get us back on track. Beware of covetousness. This word is a different Greek word than all the other bewares. This beware is a little bit different. It says to isolate, to be on guard, to preserve. Separate that covetousness out of your life. Just, it's not so much as the danger, be on guard, but covetousness is something we have to guard against, to isolate it in our life. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Covetousness, an unlawful desire for the property of another, and also a desire to gain riches beyond what is necessary for our wants. And we need to be real, especially men, that that's not a driving force in my life. To have riches beyond what is necessary to meet my needs. Jesus says, and again, this is the words of Jesus. He doesn't even say beware. He says, take heed and beware. Stop and think about, is this something that's controlling my life? I have here that let's keep our eyes focused on the kingdom of God and not on the things of others. It's so easy to look at the materialistic things around us. But let us focus on the kingdom of God. Let us think about what Jesus would want us to do. Let us see the needs of others. It will help with covetousness. Just thinking about the offering that we're going to lift next Sunday. The needs of other people. That's one way we can take care of that covetousness spirit. Is to be able to say, Lord, it's yours anyhow. You know how it is, how easy it is for Jesus to take our money. We can try to hoard it, and we can try to hoard it, and every time we think we got a pal, it's gone. I am just persuaded of that. I would just rather that you give it to Jesus and allow him to control your life. The sixth, beware. I got 10 here this morning, so I need to speed it up. The sixth beware is found in Philippians. We're going to take three of them real fast. But it is the sign that I have up here. It says, beware of the dog. If you turn to Philippians, turn with me. Philippians 3, verse 2. Philippians 3, verse 2 says, well, I'm going to start with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. We got three bewares, one verse. And I had to wonder, why did the writer feel a need to put three bewares? He'd be like, now pay attention. There's a dangerous thing here that you're going to face. Beware, beware of the dog. Don't only beware of the dog, beware of evil workers. And also beware of the concision. Beware of dogs. You might like dogs, you might not like dogs. Sometimes dogs are pets, sometimes they're dangerous. One time, they can be your friend, and the next time, they're trying to kill your best pet. Dogs are unpredictable. You just cannot trust a dog. So imagine, you have this sign on the front of your house, and it says, beware of the dog. It's your choice. As I've already said, what you're going to do with that sign, whether you're going to go allow the dog to attack or whether you're going to respect and stay away. The scripture says, beware of the dog. The Greek word for this dog is K-U-O-N. And does that remind you of coon? That's how it's pronounced, coon. And I begin to think of a coon dog. A dog that got his nose to the ground tracking something. Making a lot of noise because he's on the scent. Beware of the dog. Beware of people that's making a lot of noise because they're onto something. They're following the scent. Beware of the dog. Thinking of the dogs that's just running, just for the fun of running. I have some friends, they have dogs like that. they get on the scent and there they go. They'll disappear. They'll be gone, barking furiously. And then there's other dogs that'll join in. Just because one dog's barking, then there's more dogs barking. Beware of the dog. Somehow I just see in my mind people that live their life that way. Always making noise over something, but are they serious-minded people? Do they have the Spirit of God within them? In the East, Bible lands, dogs often were wild beasts that just roamed the fields. And so when he says beware of the dogs, he wasn't saying beware of your little pet dog that you have in a hut. He's saying that wild beast that's going to tear things apart, you cannot tame it. Snarling, dissatisfied, contentious, shameless. Dragging around carcasses and feeding off of them. Beware of the dogs. Matthew says, Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. And in Isaiah, it brings out another idea of dogs. Because dogs are, a good dog is a watchdog. That when you pull into a property, they bark. And Isaiah says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. Beware of the dogs. Don't allow those dog characteristics to be a part of your life. The seventh one is found right there in Philippians. The next one says, beware of evil workers. And I believe it's just a continuation of the same thought. Of people that he's calling dogs, he's making a tremendous point of the Jewish people whose doctrine and influence he considered only evil. And so he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of evil people. Of evil workers. Spreading that evil influence. Thinking of the Jews, they're trying to say you have to be a Jew to have God's blessing. Arguing about that advantage. Arguing about complying with the law in order to be justified before God. He says, beware of them. Beware of the man whose teaching and life shows fruit from another kingdom. And the third one, the eighth one, is beware of the concision. Also found in Philippians 3:2, the three that's listed right there. Concision means a cutting off, mutilation. Thinking of circumcision, of cutting off of the flesh. Referring to Jewish teachers who taught circumcision was a saving merit. Teaching that salvation depended upon it. They're mutilating the scriptures. There's no saving merit in that. But the Jewish people would teach that it was. Mutilating the scriptures. And I think of people that will believe what they want to believe. or make it apply just to themselves. Leave out scriptures, not taking the whole scriptures in context. Teaching only scriptures that bless my lifestyle. It's all about in the world about us. Beware of the concision. Now there's three. I started by reading verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." You know, we're talking about these dangers, these negative things that we need to stop and think about, but the Lord has been so good to us. We can rejoice in the Lord. We do not need to feel negative. We have a Savior that cares about us, that delivers us from sin, a Savior that cleanses my life, a Savior that brings peace to a troubled conscience, a Savior that supports us in trials and bereavements, a Savior that's always there, somebody that we can rejoice in. It's something to be excited about this morning, that we have a Savior like our Savior. He says, rejoice, not in riches, not in gaiety, not in books, not in ambitions, nothing in this world, but rejoice in the Lord. He's the one that gives us the strength this morning. I'd like to look at the ninth beware, and that one is found in Colossians 2, verse 8. This one says, beware of being spoiled. Turn with me to Colossians 2, verse 8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, this spoil is not like the spoil that you probably think about, like a meat spoils and goes bad. This spoil is when someone takes plunder, like an army comes into a city and they plunder it. They take spoil. He says, let no man spoil you, plunder you, take you prisoner during war. No man can take the peace that you have this morning, but beware lest someone robs you of your faith. Philosophy, human reasoning, and it's so easy to go there. We reason things out, my own reasoning, my own ideas. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, through human reasoning, ideas. How are you going to keep from being spoiled this morning? The answer is found in the two previous verses. Verse 6 and 7, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him. If we're rooted and built up in Jesus Christ, nobody can plunder your life and take you spoil. Nobody can. But beware, it is a possibility. And the tenth one, the last one that I'd like to look at, is found in 2 Peter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter 3, verse 17 says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I've labeled this one, beware of falling. And it's a very serious one. The first one we started out with was, beware lest ye forget the Lord. And the last one is, beware lest ye fall from the Lord, from your steadfastness. Beware. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible, or he wouldn't have wrote that like that. If it was not possible for us to fall away, he would not say, beware lest you're going to fall. Beware. There's dangers all around us. Where are we keeping our focus this morning? It's like walking on a sheet of glass. Of ice, that's what I meant to say. Glass, ice that is like glass. Very, very shiny, and it's very slippery, and you're taking one step at a time, and you just never know when you're going to slip. You just don't know when you fall. But when we take God's word with us, when we take God's, when we have God's spirit in our life, it's like throwing sand on that ice. And you can walk. You can walk straight. And it's perilous. You have to be careful. But you're not going to slip. You're not going to fall. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. applying God's word every day. Don't forget the Lord. Beware. Beware. Don't fall. We looked at 10 bewares this morning, and I'd like to sum them up with the last verse in verse 18. It's Brother Edwin's favorite verse for our congregation. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for each one of you this morning. Let us kneel for a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again.